Finally, Chris, what does it mean for you and your colleagues for the UN to declare 2025 the year of quantum science? Is it just nice recognition for your sector, or will it actually have a meaningful impact and make a change to how you and the industry goes about their research?
Oh, absolutely. Like, I think it is, firstly, it's a real acknowledgement and recognition of the contribution that quantum science has made to our lives already. And that's certainly been great. I think there's many new applications and things that are on the horizon. So, for example, I mentioned quantum sensing as well. There's potential for new impacts in medical diagnostics and medical imaging that could really, you know, help make certain medical treatments more accessible to people around the globe. But I think it's also it's a recognition that, you know, over the 100 years since we've had, or since the quantum theory was developed, just what an impact it's had on our lives, but also an acknowledgement of the potential for new technologies and new benefits to society that we'll see from the next wave of quantum technologies that are coming through. So hopefully what we'll see is a chance to educate the public and educate the broader community about quantum science, hopefully demystify it a little bit and make it sound not quite as scary, and help raise awareness of how quantum science and scientific research in general can help make the world a more sustainable and equitable place.
Absolutely. Well, I thank you for beginning that education process this morning with us here on the ABC. Really interesting, and I wish you all the best for your year ahead. It is your year, the year of quantum science. Chris Vail, thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thanks very much, Chris. Appreciate the chance to talk.
That's Chris Vail. He's the director of the CSIRO's Quantum Future Science Platform.
This is Summer Breakfast.
You're listening to ABC Radio.
Yeah, let's find out what's happening on the roads around New South Wales right now. And from the Australian Traffic Network, it's Marty Cole.
Good morning, Chris. Well, at Michilago, we mentioned earlier there was a crash. This is south of the ACT that had the Monero Highway closed in both directions. That has been cleared and the road is open. That's the Monero Highway at Michilago, south of the ACT. That's reopened both ways. We've seen quite a bit of busy holiday traffic heading north through the Central Coast and at Taro as well, getting onto the Pacific Highway and over the Hexham Bridge. But other than that, roads are looking clear across most of New South Wales and the ACT. From the Australian Traffic Network, I'm Marty Cole.
Thank you very much, Marty. Let's talk sport.
He's over again. That is one of the great grand final moments.
But most importantly, for her and for Australia, it is a series win.
For the first time this year, it's a good morning and a happy new year to Matt Carmichael from Channel 7. Good morning, Matt.
Morning, Chris. Happy new year.
How was your night?
It was quiet. It was nice. I've learned my lessons over the years that we've got to work today. It always takes me back to, I remember the very first year that Glenn McGrath launched the pink test for Jane McGrath, and I had a big New Year's Eve and we went straight to the SCG to the Nets, and that didn't go well. So
right.
Early to bed, right. The fireworks woke us up, and then so I watched the early ones.
Yeah.
And tried to sleep through the big ones, which didn't work too well.
So. Now, speaking of the pink test, the SCG test, I don't think it's too early to start the previewing. Ooh. It kicks off on Friday, so they don't get much time in between. Now, Mitchell Starc, is he going to be playing or not?
Well, how good is it to have a three-day gap after the amazing test match in Melbourne, and we don't have to wait long for the Sydney test, but it might not be great for Mitchell Starc. He's got that sort of rib and back problem. But the one thing that always gets me, Chris, when you see Mitchell Starc in person and he shakes your hand, and he is just so strong. He is a big, strong human being. And he bowled fast and beautifully on that last day when they won.
Didn't he?
I think the chance to actually finish the job and win this series will probably be a great painkiller for him. And I reckon he'll play. You'd nearly need to handcuffs to stop him from taking the field on Friday at the SCG.
Especially with Hazelwood still out, you'd think, I mean, it'd be very radical. I know they've done it in the past, but to take two spinners in instead of Starc, I think might be too radical. So there is precedent, though, isn't there, even when Starc isn't injured, that he rests on the Sydney test, because he has such a workload in the first four test matches that he's sort of like an old thoroughbred that finally just needs a breather.
I think in those times early in his career where he'd get rested for big games, I think that really, I think, has driven him to not ever let it happen again.
And right.
The SCG's changed too, where it doesn't spin like it used to. So, and the other thing too, I'd love to see Sean Abbott get a debut on his home ground, but Mitchell Starc is a fast left-arm bowler. If he doesn't play, it'll probably expose Australia that we don't have a huge a lot of fast bowling depth below those great ones that we have at the moment.
Yeah, is there any chance Abbott could come in for Mitch Marsh or would Bo Webster be the more likely all-rounder? If indeed Marsh is left out of the side, which is still a big if.
I think Sean Abbott's a good enough player to play as that all-rounder. And, you know, Mitch Marsh isn't batting well. He's not bowling enough. But at the same time, Chris, he is like almost the spiritual leader of the team. He's like he plays on the good bloke rule. I think he gets away with whatever he can.
Well, you and I could almost make the team if good being a good bloke is the only criterion.
I can't bat. If it's 120 k's, I can see the ball. After that, I can't see it anymore. I'm too old. So
we've gone on such a roller coaster with Mitch Marsh, haven't we? Because you know, it was the early period where he wasn't performing, and Australia was getting very frustrated with him, and then he suddenly came good, and all was forgiven, and he was like our favourite cricketer, and he won the Alan Border Medal, I think, one year. And now he's sort of come out through the other side, and the form's dropping away again. It's interesting you say that the being a good bloke alone is just letting him hang in there.
Earlier in his career, if he'd played two tests the way he'd played this summer, the whole country's saying, oh, who's this bloke? He's overrated. Get rid of him. And isn't it funny how he said it himself. He goes, it felt like the whole country used to hate him. It's been a great turnaround.
I sort of turned the corner on him when I saw that. I think it's Amazon, isn't it? They do that documentary series, Test. And he just came across as so likeable, like a really nice guy in the dressing sheds.
Champion. And he works, the other thing they do, he works with his great friend Tommy Herschel. It's called Find Your Feet. And they go around to schools and talk to young boys about how to actually, like, to be open with your feelings and be, you know, be a good person. And the work he's doing away from cricket, I think, is something that Mitch Marsh needs to be exposed for, and what a treasure the guy is with that sort of stuff as well. So I think that's why we have a soft spot for him, and he can do as he pleases on the cricket field.
You've sold me. He's in for the next 10 years. Okay, that's sorted. Now, moving to tennis, Nick Kyrgios almost won his first singles match.
He looked good. He played this. It's the giant young Frenchman. He's about 2 metres and 3 centimetres. Giovanni Pecci Pericard. He rose about 170 places in the rankings last year. Serves at about 230 k's, and Nick Kyrgios took him to 3 sets in the Brisbane International. And he looks good. It's about the best you've seen Nick move around a tennis court. He looks fit and strong, but his wrist. That wrist surgery that he had, he didn't look happy in the last set. He needed treatment earlier in the match. And afterwards, he even raised doubt himself about whether he'd actually get through 3 sets in a Grand Slam. So he teased us with this comeback. It's doubtful whether he'll be able to play the Australian Open at all. Mm. So that's the big thing over the next week, how he recovers from that match.
Now, very quickly, it's New Year's Day. It's a new year. Some predictions from you. NRL, who's going to win the flag?
I'm going to say Penrith. I'm going to say 5 in a row, even though they've lost Fisher Harris and Luai and a couple of others. That system they've got, I can't see another team beating them next year. Chris.
Five in a row.
This year, sorry.
Yeah. Matt Carmichael has called it early. 5 in a row for the Panthers. Yeah. In the AFL?
I think the Giants win their first premiership.
Big call.
Their third year under Adam Kingsley with this tsunami system that they play. And they had the Swans and the Lions on the rack in the final series, the two teams that made the grand final. They're almost there. I think this is the year they get there.
Okay, we're recording this. We'll play it back to you come finals time. And the Wallabies, are they going to come good?
I think they beat the Lions. That's going to be huge this year. That British and Irish Lions series, it's coming. Every match of the tour is sold out. It's going to revive rugby. And I think the Wallabies are just going to get there and beat them.
I hope you're right. Have a wonderful day and a new year. All the best, Matt.
Thanks, Chris.
That's Matt Carmichael from Channel 7. It's 7 o'clock. Let's get some news.
Good morning, Jamie McKinnell with ABC News. Sydney has ushered in the new